Thanks, everybody. I'll do my best to talk like a normal person. That's like the best thing ever.
You got much to live up to.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Well, I'm really happy to be with you guys today. Usually, when you have a visiting speaker, they always make a joke, I only talk till 2. So, there's my time joke. I'm not going to talk that long, I don't think. Unless God is feeling long-winded today. I don't know if he is or not. We're going to find out together. Before I talk, I always want to pray because God has smart things to say, and I'm all about that. So, if you'll just bow your heads with me. God, I just thank you that you're in this house today. And right now, I just yield myself to you. I yield my agenda and my heart and my mind. I yield my mouth, God. I just want to say what you're saying. And Lord, I ask that right now that you would just continue moving in this place. And that you would open up each person to receive what you have for them. Because every time we gather, you have a word. You have something that you want to speak to each one of us individually. So, Lord, I just thank you that right now you're moving in people's hearts and minds. And I just thank you that you are the life changer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, sometimes it feels like following God is difficult to do. Because it seems like there's all these things that you got to do, and then there's all these things that you're not allowed to do. And sometimes we can feel like it's just a bunch of rules. Back in the day, during Jesus' time, there was a group of people called the Pharisees, and they were the religious leaders of the day. They were scholars. They knew way more than I do. I'll tell you that right now. They knew so much about the Bible. They had so much of it memorized. They were the religious leaders of the day. If somebody wanted to know about God, they went to those people. But the thing is those Pharisees, they weren't really listening to God anymore. And they heaped more rules and regulations on the people. And when Jesus came, the Pharisees were mad because Jesus was taking everything that they thought and believed, and he was just kind of flipping it on its head a little bit. And it's not that the rules went away, but it changed. Jesus made it so simple, because that's what he does. Following God really is very, very simple. Sometimes we can get distracted and we make it so much harder than it's supposed to be, but it's very simple. And as I'm talking today, if you forget everything I say, that's fine. But there is one verse, there is one thing that I want to be burned into your head and into your heart and into your spirit. And this is what you get, because this verse has been in my head for like a month. So it's been just seeping into my spirit for a month. So now I'm passing it on to you. So the verse is John Chapter 8, verse 47, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation, it just makes things so simple as well. And I need simple. I don't know about you guys. I don't want things to be complicated. I want them to be simple. So John, chapter 8, verse 47, in the Passion Translation. Now Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking to the Pharisees. He's yelling at them, basically, and Jesus' way of telling people, you need to listen because you're not doing things right. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. So he says, if you really knew God, you would listen, receive, and respond with faith to his words. Listen, receive, and respond. Jesus just boiled down the Christian walk into three words. Listen, receive, and respond with faith to his words. But since you don't listen and respond to what he says, it proves you don't belong to him and you have no room for him in your hearts. Here's the thing. God is really good. And sometimes when we want to know about something, we want to see the earthly version of it to understand. There is no earthly version of how good God is. He is that good. He is 100% goodness. My mom is really good. I love my mom. She's like one of my favorite people on the planet. But as good as she is, she doesn't even compare to how good God is. There is no earthly example that we can look at right now that shows how good God is. So in our minds, usually God falls short because we don't understand how good he is. And right here, Jesus is saying, Pharisees, you don't understand the goodness of God because you've stopped listening. You're not listening at all. You're trying to figure it out yourselves. And when we try to figure everything out ourselves, we're going to miss it every time. We're going to miss it every time. The Pharisees should have been the first group of people to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. Because they knew all these prophecies about Jesus being the Messiah. They knew where he was going to be born. They knew that he was going to open up blind eyes. No one had ever been able to heal blind people before. And here comes Jesus opening up the eyes of the blind. They should have seen it. But they had stopped listening. They had filled themselves with so much knowledge about God that they left absolutely no room for relationship with God. And then here comes Jesus, the person of relationship with God, and they missed it hard. They had no room for him in their hearts at all, to the point where they were more concerned with keeping their status of being the great biblical scholars of the day, that they killed him. They wanted to keep what they had so badly that they killed him. Jesus knew that this was going to happen. Like, he knew it. He knew it even then. This verse is from pretty much kind of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So he knew this was coming down the road. But he still told them. He still gave them the key. If you listen to what I say, this is what Jesus is saying. If you listen to what I say, even though you guys are so hard-hearted, he's still giving them the key to come to him. That is such mercy and grace. If you would only listen and receive and respond with faith to God's words. That's what it takes for all of us. And this has just been, I'm telling you, this has been like hounding me. This verse has been hounding me for a month. Because a lot of times we are kind of like the Pharisees in that we come to salvation and we're like, okay, we're good. And then we stop listening, receiving, and responding. We're like, we've come to the kingdom, that's all we have to do. Jesus is my Savior, that's all I have to do. No, we have to listen and receive and respond every single day, because every single day, God is talking to us. He's telling us which way to go. Now, it's not always about sin. It's not always about God saying, hey, stay away from this because it's going to hurt you. Sometimes it's just directing your path. Let's say you're going to the store and there is somebody at Walmart that God wants you to pray for. And the only way you're going to come in contact with that person is to go to Walmart. So God is telling you, go to Walmart for your grocery shopping today. And you're like, I'm going to go to Aldi's. Going to Aldi's is not a sin. I love Aldi's. Most of my groceries come from Aldi's. But if we're not listening, we're going to miss little opportunities like that. Sometimes big opportunities just because we want to do what we want to do and we don't want to listen. Whew. I know it. I'm telling you, God's been hounding me. So as much as I'm preaching to you, believe me, I'm preaching to myself. Because sometimes I think I know better. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we think we know better. And if I'm talking about hearing God's voice and you're like, I don't hear God's voice like that. You know what? God wants you to. He's not trying to hold himself away from you. He's not like, I want everyone to hear my voice but you. He doesn't work like that. He wants us all to hear his voice loud and clear. So if hearing God's voice is a struggle for you, let me give you some tips. First, when you read your Bible, because we should all be reading our Bibles every day. When you open up your Bible and you're getting ready to read, pray, say, God, open up my ears and my heart that I can hear you today. And as you start reading your word, after you start reading the Bible, you will find that verses will jump off the page and hit you. This verse from John 8:47, I was just reading my Bible. And this verse just jumped off the page and hit me in the face. And I was like, wow, God, you've just boiled that down into three things, and I don't know that I always do these very well. And that's God speaking. When you're reading the word, and the verse just jumps off and hits you. And here's the thing. You don't want to stop right there and be like, oh, that was nice, God's speaking to me. I'm just going to keep on reading. Like, you got to pause and let him continue to speak to you. When he's getting you like that, when it jumps off the page like that, that's like him sending off like a signal flare. Hey, stop, wait, stop right here. I want to say something to you. And then you stop and you wait and you listen and you dialogue. You listen to him, you talk to him. What are you saying to me, God? Tell me more. Explain. I don't understand. If you have kids, aren't you happy when your kid comes to you and goes, will you help me? I don't understand. You're like, sweet, they actually think I have a brain and I have something useful to say. Right? We know sometimes our kids, I don't have kids, I have a dog, but I'll tell you what, he doesn't listen very well either. But we're happy when kids come to us and they treat us like we know something. God gives us wisdom. So that's one way. Reading your word is one way. Another way is in prayer. When you're praying to God, sometimes we have so much that we're going to God with that we don't stop and listen. As much as you speak words in prayer, you also got to stop and listen. Because prayer is just talking to God. So if you and I have a conversation and I talk the entire time and don't let you say a word, that's not really a conversation, right? I'm just talking at you. Prayer is supposed to be a conversation where we pray and then we listen for God to speak to us. Because he's going to. We just have to stop and wait. Another time is just doing your normal daily work. When you're just cleaning the house, driving to work, whatever it is that you're doing, just stop and be like, God, speak to me today. Help me to hear your voice. Help me to recognize your voice. Because here's the thing. God is speaking to all of us all of the time. It's just we don't always recognize his voice. But then once you are kind of like awakened to his voice speaking to you, you will find he never shuts up. God is talking to you all the time. So we have to hear God's voice. That's A number one. A number one of Christian walk. You receive salvation, you learn to hear his voice. Because if we can't hear his voice, then we're going to stumble around in the dark. Nobody wants that. The next thing is receiving what he says. Sometimes God, he says everything to us. So sometimes he's speaking encouragement. When you're in a place of discouragement, God will come and speak encouragement. But we don't always receive that. Sometimes we want to stay in that place of discouragement. And we don't receive his encouragement. So whenever he's speaking to us, we have to learn to receive what he's saying. Sometimes he just wants to say, I love you to us. We're his kids. Think about how much you love your kids or your grandkids. He loves us so much more. So sometimes he's just saying, I love you, kid. I love you, daughter. I love you, son. But sometimes we have a hard time receiving God's love. That's such a big thing. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's God saying, hey, you're doing this and you should not be doing this. And we have to receive that. Hearing is the first step. But you can hear God and then completely ignore everything he says. That's not receiving what he's saying. We have to receive what he says. And the last thing is that we have to respond in faith. Most of the time when God speaks to us, there is some action. Whether it's an action that we do internally, like asking for forgiveness, or whether it's an action that we do outside, like going to Walmart when God says go to Walmart instead of going to Aldi's even though it's cheaper. It's the truth.
They got 5% rollback.
They do. That's true. Do you work at Walmart?
I used to.
Oh, there we go! Oh my goodness, that's funny. I'm going to give you two examples. And the first one's hard. I didn't want to give this example at all. And God started kicking my butt last night about it. And then this morning, he continued to kick my butt. So I got out my computer and I added another page. So if you think I'm too long today, blame God. Because he's telling me to talk about it. So the whole point of all of this is listen, receive, and respond. That's it. That's our Christian walk right there. Listen, receive, and respond in faith. So I'm going to talk about King David for a few minutes. King David is described in the Bible as being a man after God's own heart. God loved David. He loves all of us, but he loved David's heart. David did not always do everything right. We know this. There's like example after example of David not doing everything right. But when he repented, he meant it. So sometimes when we sin, we'll repent and then we go right back to it again. And we're not really sorry. You guys know what I'm talking about. We're all guilty of this. But David, when he repented, he meant it. You don't see him making a lot of the same mistakes twice. Not very often. He usually learned his lesson. And he was a big worshiper of God. He loved to worship God. He made his own instruments. And he was really good at it. To the point where he was asked to go play music for King Saul. During the time where King Saul wanted to kill him. So he's sitting there playing his harp while King Saul is literally throwing a spear at him. He jumps out of the way and plays his harp. Later on, David had time after time after time where he could have killed Saul. God seemingly delivered Saul into his hands where he could have easily killed him. But he listened to God. He received what God said and he responded in faith and he spared Saul's life. So David knew what to do and he listened. And then there came a point where he stopped listening. God leads us away from sin's traps. But if we stop listening, we don't avoid them. And when we ignore him and we fall into a sin's trap, let me tell you, it doesn't just harm us, it harms others. And that's something that is difficult for us to hear sometimes. We want to be like, my sin is my sin and it's not hurting anybody else. It's not true. Our sin, no matter what it is, you're harming others as well. So we have to take responsibility for our sin, and when we repent, we got to mean it. So David was out walking the walls of his castle-y kingdom, whatever that looked like in Israel back in the day. I don't know. So he's walking, and he looks over, and he sees this lady bathing on the roof, and he's like, who's that lady? And he was lustful towards her. And so he got his men to find out who she was, and he invited her into his house and into his bed, and she got pregnant. But here's the thing. Before he sent his men to go get her, they told him that she was married. He knew better. He knew better, but he wasn't listening to God. He was listening to his own lustful desires. And so he sent for her and she got pregnant. And then he's like, oh, this looks bad. I'm going to cover it up. So then he sends for this lady. Her name was Bathsheba. He sends for Bathsheba's husband, who was a friend of his and fought alongside of him years before. Sent for him to come home. Got him drunk and tried to get him to sleep with his wife so it looked like the baby was the husband's baby and not David's baby. But this man had more integrity than David did at that moment, and he's like, I can't sleep with my wife right now. All my buddies are out on the war field. They're not getting to sleep with their wives. I can't do it. So he wouldn't even go see her. So David's like, well, this looks bad and I can't fix it. So he sends her husband back to the battlefield with a note in his pocket telling his commander to send him out to the front lines, and once he's out there and the fighting is fierce, to draw everybody back so he would die. That's bad. It's very not cool. It's very not cool. Sometimes we'll get caught in a sin and we try to fix it in ways that are also sinful, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on, and we can't find a way out. We've all been there before. We're something, and it doesn't have to be this. I'm not saying we're all murderers. It may be something really small. It may be a lie that you tell, and then to cover that lie, you got to tell a bigger lie and a bigger lie and a bigger lie, and then you can't keep track of your lies anymore. I've been there, not recently, but in my past, I've been there, and you can't fix it. So David stopped listening. I want to read from 2 Samuel real quick. This is 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 25, 26, verse 26. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, The man's name was Uriah that was killed, obviously. So when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. Now think about Bathsheba. She was on her rooftop. It was the middle of the night. She didn't think anybody was going to see her. Then the king of the country sends his men to come bring her to his house, and he sleeps with her, and she's pregnant. And she, I don't think she brought any of that on herself. And then this man, the king, sent her husband off to die. That stinks. That really stinks. So she's sad. She would have loved this man. This was her husband. So now he's dead. So she mourns for him. Verse 27. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. So up to this time, David, he wasn't taking any responsibility for his sins. He went in his own way to try to fix it. He's not listening. But if we go back, David was a worshiper, right? He spared Saul's life. He knew how to listen. And here's the thing. If you knew how to listen to God at one point, you don't lose that ability. You just start ignoring him, right? Listening to God is like riding a bike. If you stop listening, you can jump right back on that bike and you can ride again. If you stop listening, you can listen again. So David is ignoring God's voice, because I will bet you $1 million God is telling David, what are you doing? Stop. Stop. Because he's just making it worse. Now he not only committed adultery, he has murder on his hands, he's bringing other people in to it. Like, it's bad. It's bad. So David displeased the Lord, and he wasn't doing anything about it. Now here's the thing. Sometimes when we stop listening to God, God is really merciful, and he'll send somebody our way to tell us what's up. And it's not them just speaking for themselves. God's telling them what to say. I know I've had this happen in my life many times, where I'm being a moron, and then God will send someone to talk to me and be like, hey Sarah, what are you doing? And if we don't listen to God's heart in all of it, we just tell them to go away. Shut up. Don't tell me my business. Right? God was merciful to David that he sent him a prophet named Nathan. So Nathan comes and lets David have it. He's like, here's what's up, David. God gave you everything. He said, this is what the Lord says. I gave you the kingship. I made you a king. I gave you land, I gave you wives, and I would have given you anything that you asked for. But then you did this. And that's the thing, God wants to bless us. We don't have to go outside of ourselves and try to steal a blessing or try to make a blessing happen faster than it's supposed to. Sometimes God will promise us something, or we're so in need that we're like, we're going to make this happen ourselves. And when we do that, we just stop God from being able to move in our lives because we just go out and take it ourselves. And sometimes we have to be patient. And sometimes we're not ready for a blessing. God may have promised us a blessing, but we're not ready for it yet. So if you have a 5-year-old, you're not going to go buy them a brand new car and be like, here you go. Mm-hmm. That blessing, that brand new car may be in their future, but at 5 years old, they're not ready for that. They can't even reach the pedals. It's the most useless gift to a 5-year-old. And sometimes it's like that for us. There are blessings that are coming to us, but we're not ready for them yet. We're not ready for them. God doesn't want to give us more than we can handle. So we have to wait. We have to be patient. One other thing is, David didn't just simply take what was his. When he committed adultery with Bathsheba, according to the law of the day, she could have got stoned to death. That's right. She could have got stoned to death. So he did so much more. His sin affected his life and all the lives of the people around him. So when David came, or when Nathan came and told David, hey, you've done this and God is displeased. He is not happy. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He realizes his sin, and he's repenting. Right there, he's repenting. I have sinned against the Lord. And that's us. When we become aware of our sin, we need to repent. The next line of that, Nathan replies, "The Lord has taken away your sin, and you are not going to die." Soon as we repent, God takes that sin off of us. He takes it away. Sometimes we are so guilty, or we feel so bad, or we're ashamed, we're all these things, and so we don't want to go to God with our sin. But here's the thing. God knows everything. He already knows about our sin. Not going to Him is silly. He already knows. You can't hide from Him. He knows the thoughts in your minds, let alone the things that you do. But so that we don't continue in sin, even though He removed the sin from David, there were natural consequences to that. And David had to deal with that. He had to deal with natural consequences. So listening to God's voice, receiving what He says, and responding in faith keeps us from sin and brings blessing. John 8:47 says, "If you really knew God, you would listen, receive, and respond with faith." If you're like me, whenever you got to do something, especially if it's something for the first time, you want to see somebody else do it first so you know what you're doing. Right? I know how to change a tire, but I watched my dad change tires lots of times before I tried it myself. I know how to change the oil in my car, but I watched my dad do it several times before I tried it myself. It's just natural to want to know how to do things. So, I want to give you an example of people who did it right. It wasn't perfect, but they did it right. David, he was all shades of not right. So I want to give you an example of somebody who did it right. So we're going to go through the story of Abraham and Sarah. I love this story, and it's not just because I'm in it. It's good.
You're that old?
No, but I am old. So in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, the Bible goes through and remembers all these heroes of the faith from the Old Testament. He talks about Abraham and Moses, and they just go through all these stories of all these heroes of the faith. And it talks about how just awesome they were. So in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm just going to read verse 8, 11, and 12. I'm going to skip through a couple. So verses 8, 11, and 12 from Hebrews chapter 11. And again, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation because I like it. So chapter 8, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise and without even knowing ahead of time where he was going. Abraham stepped out in faith. Can you imagine if you just heard the voice of God right now and He's like, "Pack up what you got and start driving west." The end. What?
Okay.
That's pretty much what happened to Abraham. He didn't even really know God yet when God spoke to him, but he knew it was God. He knew it was God, and God's like, "Pack up your stuff and start moving." And he said, "Okay." That's great faith. Verse 11. Sarah's faith embraced the miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. She was 90 when she had a kid, so well past the age of childbearing. The verse goes on, "For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness." The authority of Sarah's faith rested in God. Her faith was in God who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. Sometimes we feel like my faith is not enough for this. That's okay. You got to tap into God's faith because his is way more than you even need. Verse 12. "In fact, so many children were subsequently fathered by this aged man of faith." He was 100 when he had a... Well, when his son was born, he didn't have the baby, but he was 100. "He was as good as dead, and now that he now has offspring as innumerable as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky." It's amazing. Abraham listened to God. He went out on the adventure of his life, and he just went with it. And here's the thing. He received God's word as truth. God is true. He's 100% good and he's 100% true. Nothing he says is ever a lie. He can't lie. It's not in him. So sometimes God will speak to us and he'll say something that seems so big. And we're like, how can that be? How can I do that? If God only asks us to do small things, there's no miracle there. There's no glory there. There's not. That's why he asks us to do big things. Because when we have to do something big, we know we can't do it on our own. And so God gets the glory. We know who's working. So when we pray for someone to get healed, we know God is working. Because with me, removed from God, my little hands aren't going to do anything. My words aren't going to mean much without God. But with God, when I lay hands on people and I pray over them, I expect to see them healed. Because his word is truth, and he's empowered us. He's empowered us to do way more than we are comfortable with. We got to jump out there. So Genesis, I'm going to read through the story of this. Because it's just amazing. I want you to put yourself in Abraham's shoes and Sarah's shoes. I want you to put yourself there. Pretend you're like you are them. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." Verse 2. "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." I will make you into a nation. The only way you can be a nation is if you got descendants, if you have kids. And at this point, Abraham didn't have any. God is often really merciful that when he speaks to us and asks us to step out in faith, he'll start us out small and do little baby steps to bigger and bigger and bigger. Not Abraham, man. Abraham's first act of faith was packing up his stuff and his family and just going and having no clue where he was going. So God started him out big. So Abraham, remember, it's all about listening, receiving, and responding. Abraham listened to God's voice. He received it as truth, and he responded in faith by packing up his stuff and getting out of Dodge. And then there was a period of time where nothing happened. So Abraham was about 75 years old when God told him to pack up his stuff and go. He's about 75. He didn't have his son until he was 100. 25 years of waiting. Now, sometimes God will give us a promise and we have to wait. But if you know when the deadline is, like if God speaks to you today and he says, "I'm going to bless you with a brand new Mercedes." You're like, "Awesome." God knows when that Mercedes is going to land in your lap, but you don't. So God might say, "Okay, I'm going to tell them this now, but it's not going to happen for 10 years. You're expecting that Mercedes every day after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years. You get to 7 years, you get to 8 years, and you're like, God, are you a liar? You promised me this car and there's nothing happening." Imagine God telling you you're going to have a kid. 5 years pass, 10 years pass, 15 years pass. He was already an old man when God spoke it to him. He'd be like, "God, what is up?" Sometimes we go to God and that's kind of what it's like. "What's going on, God? I don't understand." In the next passage, God is talking to Abraham and telling Abraham about his legacy. And Abraham kind of responds, but God, listen, nothing's happening. So this is Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Chapter 1. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abraham said, 'Sovereign Lord.'" So he's still like, God is God. So he's not like, "God, you need to listen to me right now." He gives him just honor. "Sovereign God. Sovereign Lord. 'What can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?'" That was his slave. That was his servant. She's like, "I got no kids, so the only person that's going to inherit is my slave." And Abram said, this is verse 3, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but his son, who is your own flesh and blood, will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. God's like, look up. You see all those stars? You can't even count them. That's how many kids you're going to have. That's what your offspring will be. Verse 6. This is the important part. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So Abraham had this moment where he's like, God, you gave me this promise, and nothing is happening. What is going on? And God explained to him, my promise is still true. You're going to have so many offspring come from you, you're not even going to be able to count them. Sometimes we feel like God has forgotten us. He hasn't. Everything he says is true. And sometimes there's just kind of an incubation period. There's a period of waiting. And we can still go to God and say, God, do you remember this promise you gave me? That's exactly what Abraham did. He went to him. He said, God, you remember this promise you gave me, but nothing is happening. And God's like, my promise is true, and it's even bigger than you can imagine. God did not get mad at Abraham. He wasn't like, look here, Abraham, what I said is true, stop whining about it. He didn't do that. He helped his faith grow. And if we fast forward in the Bible to Hebrews, which is thousands of years later, God still looked to Abraham as this man of great faith. So when God gives you a promise and you're like, I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, what is going on, God? You can go to him and say, Lord, do you remember this promise you gave me? And he's not going to thump you on the head. He's not going to say, listen here, you faithless scoundrel. No, he's going to be like, it's coming. It's coming. Have faith. And that's what God, or what Abraham did. He listened to the word of God. He listened to what God spoke to him. He received it in his heart as truth. And he responded in faith. Okay, God, I'm going to wait. So Abraham needed reassurance, and God gave it to him. But here's the thing. Abraham's just half of that equation. We have his wife, Sarah. Sarah is also getting old, and she's getting tired of waiting. And she's struggling with this promise. And she tried, she pulled a David a little bit. Actually, David came much later, so she just went out on her own. She said, I know there's this promise of the nations. I'm not pregnant. I'm way too old to be pregnant. Let's see what we can do about this. So in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, says, now Sarai. So a lot of times in the Bible, people have a name, and then something happens, and God changes their name. So at this point, Sarah is still Sarai. And Abraham is still Abram. So Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, or to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Look at this. The Lord has kept me from having children. It's God's fault. She was tired of waiting, so she blamed God for not keeping his promise just because she was tired of waiting. So she says, go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So Sarah listened to the promise. She received the promise, but she didn't fully believe it. And she responded without faith. Faith is important. We got to listen, receive, and respond with faith. If we take faith out of the equation, we're going to respond out of our flesh, and we're going to mess things up. And that's exactly what Sarah did. So Abraham went and slept with her slave. They had a son. And now the war that you see in Israel to this day is a result of that. There were thousands. There are thousands of years of consequence for that action. God will forgive our sin, but there are consequences sometimes. And sometimes those consequences last a very long time. Consequences are not bad. It's not necessarily punishment. But if we sin, repent, and there is never a consequence, we're just going to keep on sinning, because then we can just repent and nothing bad ever happens. Sometimes we have to live with the consequence. Sometimes God takes the consequence away. He's sovereign and he does what he wants. So, when this child was born, Abraham was 86. So when he first received the promise, he was 75. 11 years later, Sarah got tired of waiting and said, sleep with my slave. Now that Abraham is 86, he has this boy with this slave that ended up causing lots of problems. They had 14 more years of waiting. Sarah just didn't know it. 14 more years of waiting for this child. So whenever we respond in faith, it's not, especially if it's a promise like this, a promise that has a wait time, we can't respond in faith when we first hear the word and then forget about it. Because I believe Sarah, when she first heard this word that they were going to be the parents of nations, I believe she responded in faith because she waited a whole 11 years before she did anything. But then her faith started to grow small. So responding in faith is a constant process. It's not a one-time thing. It's a constant process of responding in faith. So now they have 14 years of waiting. And when they were really close to getting to the end of their waiting, God sent them three messengers. And sometimes they say that these three messengers were angels. So these three guys were walking by Abraham's camp. And Abraham's like, "Yo! Come have lunch with us. Sarah, go start making food. We're going to have visitors tonight." They didn't know these people at all. That's just hospitality right there. Which sounds really awesome. Walking by somebody's house and they're like, "Hey, come in. We're going to make you this big roast beef." Yes, I will take it. So they have these three guys come in. Sarah's in the tent preparing food and Abraham's out talking to these guys. So this is Genesis chapter 18, verses 10 through 15. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture, because I think it's funny. If you don't know it yet, God is hilarious. This is funny. Okay, verse 10. "Then one of them said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son.' Now Sarah at this time is 90 years old, and Abraham is 100. They are old. So Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing." Verse 12. "So Sarah laughed to herself." So she laughed to herself. To me, that implies she's not like, "Wah-ha-ha!" She's like quietly preparing the food like, "This guy." "So she laughed to herself as she thought." So she thought, she didn't even say this out loud, as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Will she now be able to have a child?" In verse 13, "Then the Lord said to Abraham," the Lord, so now this is God talking to Abraham. "So then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" This is God talking about himself. "Is anything too hard for me? Haven't I already given you a promise and reminded you? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Verse 15. "Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, 'I did not laugh.' But he said, 'Yes, you did laugh.'" Sometimes God will tell us something and we feel like it's so big and ridiculous that we laugh. I don't think God was mad at her. I think he was like, "Really? You still don't believe me?" And then she lied about it. Sarah was quiet about this and she had thoughts in her mind. God hears our thoughts. She didn't speak any of this out loud. God hears our thoughts. He knows the desires of our heart. He puts desires in our hearts. So whenever you're struggling with something and you're like, "I'm just going to hide this from God," you can't. He already knows. He knows about it before you knew about it. So even though they had all this struggle and there was all this just hardship and difficulty, we can still fast forward several thousand years and see in Hebrews chapter 11 where they are credited as having great faith and even being called heroes of faith. God gave them this promise and he fulfilled it and they waited. Did they make a few mistakes in the middle? Yeah, they did. They made a few small mistakes in the middle. But they returned to faith. They returned to faith. And that's the thing. When we listen and receive and respond in faith, God is going to reward us. He's going to bless us. He has made it easy for us if we allow it. It's made it very simple if we allow it. Sometimes it's hard to respond in faith. Sometimes we don't want to wait. We get tired of waiting. We're like, "Lord, I've been sitting in this circumstance. I've been sitting in this situation for 5 years. For 10 years. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing." We have to have patience that our God is good. 100% good. He's the best dad that there could ever be. And that he always sees us and he's always working on our behalf. Always. We have to let our faith rest in God. I'm going to close here in prayer in a second, but I want to read this verse in Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Sarah's faith embraced the miracle power to conceive even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested on the one who made the promise. The authority of your faith needs to rest on the one who makes the promise. Our faith needs to rest on God. Our faith can't rest on our circumstance. It can't rest on the people around us because the people around us are going to let us down. Our faith has to rest on the one who's given us the faith in the first place. And that verse ends with, she tapped into his faithfulness. We need to be able to take our faith and tap into God, and he will make our faith grow. We're not all by ourselves. We're not alone, ever. God is always working for us. He's always working on our behalf. We just don't always see it. But just because we can't see it with our physical eyeballs doesn't mean that in heaven, he's not moving mountains for us. We just got to wait and be patient. I'm going to pray over us in a second, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God to increase our ability to listen to him, to receive what he says, and to respond to what he says. And I believe with all my heart that if each one of us, if we can grasp onto this, this is life-changing. It makes all the things that we make complicated and difficult way easier. What's God saying to you? Do that. That's our lives. What's God saying? Do that. It's very simple if we let it be. If you're able to stand, if you're not able to, that's okay. But if you're able to stand, and as I'm praying, I just want you to listen to what God is saying to you. Because I know he's going to speak to us today. He's going to speak to us individually. Because who he is. It's who he is. God, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you are in this room and that you're just moving. You're moving in all of us right now. Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us, every one of us, to increase our ability to hear your voice. Lord, help us to be able to hear you when it's loud. Help us to hear you when it's quiet. Help us to hear you when there's just chaos that's all surrounding us. When we feel like we're standing in the middle of a tornado, Lord, I ask that we'd be able to hear your voice so loud and clear. And God, I ask that you would help us to receive what you're saying to us. Help us to listen to what you say is truth. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to be able to let go of any lie that's in our minds that stop us from receiving your word as truth. Thank you, God. And I ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us to respond in faith. That we would respond in faith to the big things and the little things. God, help our patience to just be enough. As we're waiting for you to work. And Lord, as we have to respond in action, God, I ask that you would help us to just see and know what it is that we're supposed to do. And I thank you, God, that right now that you're changing lives and that you're working in situations. And I ask, God, that you would just release a word to each person. Even if it's a single word for them to hang on to, Lord, I ask that you would just release a word into each person's heart and mind that as they are just struggling with this, Lord, that they'd be able to grasp onto that and just move forward in relationship with you. I thank you, God, that you're a good King. You're a good King, Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would just bless each person in this room. In Jesus' name.